Hi, I'm Edmundo Resendez, your host today for a very special Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. Today, our special guest is U.S. Senator Tom Udall, Democrat from New Mexico. Senator Udall began serving as United States Senator in 2009, after 2 decades of public service as U.S. Representative and New Mexico's State Attorney General. He was re-elected to the U.S. Senate in 2014 and is now New Mexico's Senior Senator. What questions or comments do you have for Senator Udall? What are his thoughts on health care, the Supreme Court, the investigation of Russian interference in our election, and Mar-a-Lago? Here's your chance to ask him. Call us at 575-646-2212 or join us on our social media desk. U.S. Senator Tom Udall on Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org after the news. Welcome to Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. I'm Edmundo Resendez, your host today on Voice of the Public, where our special guest is U.S. Senator Tom Udall, Democrat of New Mexico. He's been U.S. Senator since 2009. With me inside the KRWG studios is Fred Martino, who is monitoring our social media desk, where we have plenty of activity going on. Fred, what seems to be the trending questions for Senator Udall as we await for him to come on?
Lots of questions, actually, and one of them is very timely. Of course, this week, folks may have noted, either listening to us at NPR or watching on the PBS NewsHour, quite a controversial bill that was approved, which will allow internet service providers to sell the browsing activity of customers. And we have a number of folks who are very concerned about that and want to ask Senator Udall, you know, can this be stopped? And it's certainly something that's on a lot of people's minds, and they want to know about that. They're also asking about the prospect of a border adjustment tax. Of course, this could have a big effect in New Mexico, particularly with the bright spot in our economy, the Santa Teresa border industrial base. So there's a lot of concern about that as well. We also have a number of questions that have come in regard to education. Of course, that is more a state and local issue, but we did get a lot of federal funding, and there's a great deal of concern about how things might change in terms of the federal oversight in terms of education. And so lots of good questions on Facebook and Twitter. Of course, the magic of a call-in show is folks calling in and asking questions. And we want to remind you of the phone number where you can call in once we do connect with Senator Udall. That number is 575-646-2212. That's 575-646-2212. And we'll, if you call in, we'll put you on hold because we're right now attempting to connect with Senator Udall. He is calling in to us, and it's a really great system when it works. It's called ISDN, which is different from a regular phone line because it allows us to have a crystal clear connection, and we're attempting to make that connection right now. A number of other questions that have come in on Facebook and Twitter, as you might imagine, deal with environmental questions. There is sweeping change that is occurring in terms of environmental regulation, with President Trump this week announcing that he is rolling back the Clean Power Plan. There also are questions in terms of whether or not Senator Udall can do anything to protect the wolf reintroduction program and the protection of other species in New Mexico and in the Southwest. As you can imagine as well, there are many, many concerns in our border communities about immigration. So we have a number of questions that have come in on social media about protections that can be offered to our immigrant communities and also our LGBTQ communities as well. So Lots of activity. We appreciate that on Facebook and Twitter. We also will appreciate your calls at 575-646-2212 as we attempt to make that ISDN connection with Senator Tom Udall.
I love live radio, Fred. And
Hello.
There he is, Senator Udall. Welcome to KRWG.
Thank you so much. Sorry for the technical glitches there, but we're finally hooked up, so this is great.
Okay, and we are hooked up. And again, the telephone number to call is 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. We have Janet that is standing by ready to ask you a question, Senator Udall. There's lots to cover, and we don't have very much time, so let's get to them. Janet, welcome to KRWG.
Thank you very much. Is it my turn?
It is your turn, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you for listening, Senator Udall. You know, we live in the land of enchantment, and even though we have so many problems facing us with this administration, we had problems before this, but now even more, you know, the land sustains us, and we have a beautiful state, and I wonder how we are going to, what plans we have to protect our wilderness areas, our species, water, the beauty of the land of enchantment. How are we going to protect it during this difficult time?
Yeah, Janet, you make a very, very good point. I mean, first of all, we have this very large natural bounty. We've been given a lot, and we've protected a lot of it. One of the things I'm really proud is under the last administration, we designated almost 750,000 acres in national conservation and monument areas. We did an area in northern New Mexico, the Rio Grande del Norte, and we did the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks Monument in the south. And so it's tremendously important that and I know the community supports these, and by having those areas and the other wilderness areas I've worked on and our national forests, we're able to protect wildlife and watersheds. And this is very important to people because many of our cities rely on the watersheds up there in the mountains that are in wilderness areas or in national forests for their water, for their drinking water. Just to give you an example, Santa Fe, 40% of the water comes from reservoirs where the runoff is in the mountains. And so it's very important that we keep all of these forests in good shape and to keep the watershed in good shape. And that's what I'm fighting hard for. And I'm very worried, like you are, about the administration. And so I'm going to keep an eye on the Secretary of Interior, who's one of the important officials there. We know that he's from a western state of Montana. He seems to know about the importance of public lands. Actually took on the Republicans in terms of telling them he was not for selling off public lands. So there's one little bright light there from him, but we're going to have to see how he performs, and you can count on me to stand up to him if he's going to try to unload our natural resources or harm them or all the critters and things that live out there in these areas.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. U.S. Senator Tom Udall is our guest. Let's go to William, who is standing by with a question for Senator Udall. William, welcome to KRWG.
Thank you. Hello, Senator Udall.
William, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I just wanted to say thanks for the great job you've been doing for the state of New Mexico and for the country. And my question is this. Given the current president's adamant refusal to divest himself of business interests, what is the likelihood that in the near future a law would be passed that would legally compel future presidents to comply, and how difficult would it be to pass such a law?
This is a crucial part of what has happened in this administration. You know, all presidents before this have taken themselves out of any business interests, any investments. They put them in a blind trust. And then someone runs that blind trust, and it's really, truly a blind trust. The president doesn't know what happens with it the whole time he's president. This president has refused to do that, and he's kept his two sons in charge of running his business, but he's still the owner of the business. And so that causes enormous problems all around the world. I mean, you can imagine these properties they have around the world and all the possibilities for foreign investors, countries, state actors, to try to curry favor with the president by staying in his hotel or making various arrangements for delegations to stay with him. These kinds of things concern me a lot, and we actually have in the Constitution two of the solutions there. There's what's called an emoluments clause. It applies to foreign states and governments, and then there's a domestic emoluments clause that applies in the United States. And those basically say that the president can't get a gift from a foreign government, and if he does, he has to disclose it and ask for Congress's permission to keep it. And then the domestic emoluments clause specifically says that the president can't engage in that kind of behavior. So what I'm going to do, we're looking right here because he doesn't seem to want to comply with this. I'm trying to rally some senators, and we may have a legal action to try to make sure we enforce these clauses, because I think it's tremendously important for the Congress to do its job. In this case, Congress's job is to oversee that foreign emoluments clause, and the president is supposed to present to us anything he considers a gift from a foreign country or a foreign state so that we can advise and consent on that. So we're staying vigilant on that. This is a very unusual situation to have a president who is so wealthy and has these ties all around the country. The one other thing that's related here that I'd like to talk about is the place where the president is now designated as what he's calling the Winter White House. First of all, you should know, I think we treat our presidents very well. We give them a nice residence here in Washington. It's got plenty of room. It's well protected. And then if on the weekends they want to go someplace, they have Camp David. He's given a good salary. And so it's pretty unusual to have a president travel almost every weekend and stay at a resort. It just so happens he owns the resort down there at Mar-a-Lago. And so what we were a little disturbed when we saw the Japanese prime minister was down there. Business was taking place in the open. They were talking about national security issues, it appears. And so we want, first of all the visitor logs to the White House and to Mar-a-Lago properties to be disclosed, because the public wants to know, I mean, who's visiting down there, what are the business advantages in these circumstances. It's simple, you know, the American people have a right to know who has access to the president, but the Trump administration has so far refused to release White House visitor logs. President Trump should follow the example set by President Obama and release visitor logs, and since he's taking the unusual step of regularly conducting official business at places like his luxury club, Mar-a-Lago, he should release visitor logs for these locations as well. And, you know, people are paying $200,000 just to join Mar-a-Lago, a club the president has already visited on multiple occasions and where people have uncommon access to the president and his top advisors. We deserve to know who might be getting access to the president and his team, and whether the wealthy are getting special treatment in this administration. Thank you so much for that question.
Senator Udall is our guest here on Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. Senator Udall, let us go to our social media desk where Fred Martino has been diligently monitoring what people have got to say. Fred?
Thanks, Edmundo. Senator Udall, Marie has a question. Can you stop the removal of the prohibition on selling people's internet activity?
This is an issue that it is pending before us right now, and actually we took a vote in the last couple of days, and I did everything I could to stop it. I spoke out on it. I've been very interested in this because one of the committees I serve on oversees the FCC. That's the Commerce Committee. President Trump and congressional Republicans are putting the interest of big business ahead of your privacy and your internet freedom. They want to let your cable or phone company sell your browsing history and personal data without your permission. That could include sensitive information about your health, finances, and children that you don't want to share or have sold to marketing companies. No Democrats supported this measure. No Democrats voted for it. I'm calling on President Trump to veto this legislation, which should erode basic online privacy protection. So, Marie, I would urge you and all the listeners to weigh in with President Trump. Tell him to veto this. You don't want him to be taking away your privacy.
Okay, and Senator, we have another question. This is from Jason. He would like your thoughts on the possible negative impacts of a border adjustment tax on Santa Teresa's border industrial base. Of course, as you know, this is something that's being talked about as a possibility, something that President Trump has mentioned, but some other Republicans now are also talking about as a possibility to push through tax reform.
Yeah, well, the border tax or border adjustment tax, as it's called, this could be very damaging to New Mexico. What people need to understand, and many New Mexicans who live a long ways from the border don't realize how much economic activity we have down there on the border. The last time I was down there meeting with business leaders, they showed me the economic data, and they said, we are going to pass Albuquerque in terms of economic development and our economic might down here on the border in the next year or so. And so there's a lot of activity, a lot of people employed. It allows a lot of trade to come in into New Mexico. New Mexico's biggest trading partner is Mexico. We have in the past, when I first got into the Senate, we've moved the area so that people from Mexico, this is about 55 miles out from the border, can come in, can spend money, spend time, do a little bit of tourism. That supports our border communities. And so all of this is tremendously important to our economics. And so I think from what I know of this border adjustment tax right now, this could well start a trade war with Mexico, and they can retaliate. Don't think that Mexico at this point, which is a growing country and has lots of investments and imports many things from the United States. I think they import about $2.5 million a year of corn. And so if we start a trade war, all those farmers, Mexico may say, we're not going to buy corn anymore from the United States. We'll buy it someplace else, and we're putting on a boycott. So this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. I'm going to give it the utmost scrutiny. But the way it looks right now with what's being proposed could really hurt New Mexico and hurt our border communities.
575-646.
Thank you for that question.
575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. You can also join us on our social media desk, Facebook or Twitter, where Fred Martino is standing by ready to hear from you as well. 575-646-2212. Let's go to Lucas, who's got a question for Senator Udall. Lucas, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you to KRWG for making this space available, and thank you, Senator Udall, for making yourself available to answer these questions.
You bet, Lucas. Fire away.
Okay. So earlier this morning, the Senate voted, unfortunately, to end or to allow states to defund clinics like Planned Parenthood with Title X, Title X funding. I understand that you and Senator Heinrich voted against this and that the tying vote was cast by the Vice President. I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about what that discussion was like. And with two votes that did come from Republicans, is there a chance that we can sway other Republican senators to help break future ties in the future?
Well, I hope so. What the vote was this morning was to proceed to the measure you're talking about, which was Title X. It's a Congressional Review Act. We're actually, if you tuned in to C-SPAN 2 now, the Senate floor is debating this specific issue. A number of Democrats have spoken up on this. As you will hear, I'm speaking up on this right now. But it's true. The very extraordinary measure. One of our Republican colleagues who's recovering from surgery, had two surgeries, had to be hauled into the floor And the vice president came, and they were only able to pass it 51-50 when under those circumstances. So it's very extraordinary. And I'm just outraged by congressional Republicans' efforts to undercut Title X. Title X ensures that women can get health care and family planning services. This Republican measure will hurt New Mexico women, particularly in rural areas, who rely on family planning providers for basic health care services. Women have a right to make their own health care decisions. It shouldn't be up to politicians in Washington. I'm going to fight back hard against any effort to defund Planned Parenthood or to make it more difficult for women to get the health care they need. Family planning providers shouldn't be demonized. They should be celebrated for everything they do for the health of women and families. And I've heard from so many women in our communities in New Mexico how much they appreciate those services they get under Title X. So I'm going to do everything I can in the next, I think it'll be next hour or so, to try to turn this vote around. I mean, we have a possibility of if one or two Republicans change here, we could win this. So anything any of you can do that are listening to let people know to on the Republican side, change your vote.
Let's go to Mary.
Thank you, Lucas. Really appreciate it.
Let's go to Mary, who is standing by at 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Mary, you are on with Senator Udall.
Hello, Mary.
Mary, welcome.
Do you mean Seal?
Well, let's go to Seal then.
Okay.
Seal.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for listening to us. I mean, I have had a question about legal status of rivers. In several countries now in the world, including New Zealand with the Whanganui River and in India with the Ganges and Yamuna rivers, have granted them status as humans, as we have granted the corporations, you know, human status. I was wondering, do you think that New Mexico should look into that with the status of the Gila River, and would that be, help us with some of our environmental concerns?
Well, we should always look at things that provide further protection and try to make sure that we're doing the kinds of protective measures. That's why I have stood so strong for all the pieces of legislation that deal with rivers. You know, it was my father, I believe, that passed the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act back in the 60s, which was a piece of legislation tremendously important to this country. Since that time, we've had in New Mexico various parts of rivers designated wild and scenic. I was, before I got into elective office, I was a champion on wild and scenic designation of the Rio Chama. I've taken a really good look at the area of the Gila you're talking about. I did a visit there a couple of months ago. I'm working with a number of environmental groups in that area to try to do everything I can to see how we can get the very best protection there. As you know, that monument up in northern New Mexico is along the Rio Grande. We have stretches of the Rio Grande that are also considered wild and scenic. And so any suggestions you, Seal, or anybody else have about this, we'd be happy to hear. But we want to work with you. And you know, in New Mexico, the Spanish saying is agua es la vida, water is life. And that's really true, because water is so precious in an arid state like ours, and we need to make sure that our water quality is the very best, and need to remember that we're kind of reusing this water all the time. It's circulating around and down rivers, down into the ocean, up into rains, into snowpack, and we need to try to keep it very, very clean.
Let's go to Fred Martino with our social media desk.
Okay, Senator Johanna asks, will you vote against giving this administration any funding to further militarize our border communities and fund additional hiring at ICE and Border Patrol?
Johanna, thank you so much for that question. And as you heard my earlier discussion about the border, I've stayed very focused on the border. I've stayed focused on what's happening down there, both from the economic side and also the side that you're talking about, which really I feel great about what the Senate has done in the past on immigration and border issues. We, unlike the House with the encouragement of President Obama, we tried to do comprehensive immigration reform. And what we were doing there is, one, protecting the border, securing the border, trying to make sure that there were better visa protections, that a 9/11 kind of situation didn't happen again. We were also trying to make sure that the people that have been here in the United States for a long time, that haven't committed any crimes and that are really a part of the fabric of this country, that they can get a path to citizenship. And the other part of this, most people know and understand this in New Mexico, the people that are coming here are coming because of their economic circumstances down in Mexico or down in Central American countries, and we need to make sure that the employers have the kind of guidance and incentives that they aren't going to be breaking the law in terms of hiring people. That's what's usually called in that bill, the employer sanctions part of that. But I think as a comprehensive package, this would make sure that this is the way to approach it. And so I hope you'll look at my bill and give me your comments on it. We need to, and when you use the term militarize, I think what you're talking about a little bit is we need to make sure that the Border Patrol treats people in a humane way. And I've stayed very closely in touch with our training agency down in Artesia that trains the Border Patrol agents, and they have a very thorough training process, and they do everything they can to get these new agents that are coming to board to understand that they're dealing with fellow human beings and they should be treated humanely, and hopefully we don't have too many tragic incidents. Hopefully we don't have any at all.
Okay, Senator, we have two questions from Facebook on education. Chris of Las Cruces has a general question about what you can do to help with federal efforts to help the education system in New Mexico. Kevin of El Paso has a more specific question. Your thoughts on school choice and school vouchers?
Sure. And thank you for those questions over Facebook. That's good. We're using all the media and forms of media out there to hold this little town hall here with Edmundo on the radio station.
Now, so Senator Udall, we do want to warn our listeners that you've got to go. You've got some work you need to do, so we don't have very much time with you. So,
we came on a little late, Edmundo, so we've got a few more minutes
Perfect.
Here. So I'm keeping an eye on my vote. I may have to vote any minute here, but I told you I'd be here for half an hour. So if you want me for a few more minutes, I'm happy.
We do.
Okay. So you have a question about education and what can the federal government do, and then I'll ask you to repeat the second one. There.
Sure.
First of all, people should realize that if they really want to impact education, they need to both put pressure on the federal government and the state government. Close to about 95% of the funding comes through state government. And so every year the state's drafting up a budget and putting proposals in place and moving things forward. And so very important to stay in touch with your state legislators. At the federal level, we try to pick areas where we can spend money, and it's a lot of money in New Mexico. I think $500 or $600 million a year comes in from the federal government in various programs, some of them to help train teachers. You know, a lot of these, I consider teachers professionals. We should be paying them more, treat them like professionals. And so we put some of the only dollars into teacher training, which I think are tremendously important. We put dollars into programs that create opportunity for all our kids. Even if they're from disadvantaged backgrounds, we make sure that they are supported. And that's one of the big programs, Title I, where significant money comes into New Mexico. So I'm going to keep fighting to increase the federal share, invest in education, invest in quality teachers, and the leadership team at schools. One of the things I've learned from those principals is the principal as part of the leadership team can really move that school forward in terms of making it an excellent school. And so that's what we're working on at the federal level. What what was your second question there on
this? The second question, Senator, was from Kevin of El Paso, and he wants to know your thoughts on school choice and school voucher programs. Of course, a major effort of President Trump and his education secretary, Betsy DeVos.
Okay. Well, I voted against Betsy DeVos because I think her positions on school choice are really extreme. I think we have school choice in New Mexico right now when it comes to our charter schools. I mean, one of the things that I've been very interested in, I've visited a number of charter schools. I like the idea if parents and students want to join together in a community and start a charter school and move it forward and see if they can do a better job than a public school, they should have that option under the state system. And I think we have a number of charter schools. The jury's still out on whether charter schools do a better job than the public schools. But we're going to learn a lot from that experiment, and we should keep it going. The voucher program, on the other hand, drains money away from the public schools. The voucher program, the way the education secretary DeVos looks at it, would be a death knell, I believe, for our public schools. And so I would be opposed to what she's trying to do there. I'll look at any other proposal she has on that, but I don't see her as leading us in the right direction on that front. And I'm very disappointed that President Trump would nominate her.
575-646-2212, 575-646-2212 to join in on the conversation with U.S. Senator Tom Udall. Let us go to Michael, who's got a question for Senator Udall. Michael, welcome to KRWG.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Senator Udall, for taking the time to answer some of these questions. I know you haven't been available for a town hall in Las Cruces yet, so it's great that you've made yourself available over the phone.
Well, I think we're coming up. We're planning on doing a town hall in Las Cruces during April. So we will.
Fantastic.
I'm not sure the exact date we've hammered out, but I know we're looking at a date, and I hope I get down there to do that. I hope to see you at that town hall.
I will be there. If you are there, I definitely will be there. Thank you very much. My question for you, though, is about economic development in our state. And I know that as a United States Senator, you have a different role than, say, our governor would. But I do have a question. Being that you've been in Congress, in the Senate for, 18 years now, our state still struggles behind. And it's not to blame on you or any of our politicians, but I'm curious as to what you're currently doing or any kind of plans you have to try to help bring jobs back to our state. And I say this in a very sincere tone because, as you know, New Mexico is highest in the nation for unemployment. And until we bring jobs to the state, nothing's going to get better. And, that's really where we need to focus right now.
Yeah, well, it's an excellent question. It's something that everybody's worried about New Mexico, especially our young people who are leaving New Mexico because they feel they can't find jobs. One of the reasons, you heard about me possibly running for governor, I decided to stay in Washington because we have such a big impact in Washington on the New Mexico economy. The good things that are happening on the New Mexico economy are happening at the federal level. Those are the national laboratories, the military bases, the public lands, the new monuments we put in place. Those are really vibrant economic engines in New Mexico and really moving things along. And so you hear kind of backhanded criticism sometimes. People say we're too dependent on the federal government. Well, actually, the federal government is doing it's doing a very good share of what we should continue to do. And let's think for a minute about the kinds of jobs we're talking about there. First of all, in the next 5 years, there's going to be 5,000 openings at the two laboratories in New Mexico, Sandia and Los Alamos. I'm targeting efforts to try to make sure New Mexicans get those jobs. Many of those are the best paying jobs. They're in the STEM fields, the science, technology, engineering, and math. I want to see our universities work with our young people so that when they get out of university or have advanced degrees, they can go work at one of these national laboratories for a good salary and stay in New Mexico. We've seen with these new national monuments really great economic benefits to the local communities, both around Taos and Cuesta and then down in Las Cruces. And we're seeing expansion at some of our Air Force bases. Down at Holloman, we have two new F-16 fighter units moving in. That's going to be additional Air Force people and their families going to be out in the community, renting homes, buying all sorts of household goods. And so I really feel that the federal government has done a lot, but I'm always pushing to do more. For example, those two national laboratories, we want to see technology transfer. What I would like to see is the great ideas that are occurring in the labs where they're working on an intelligence issue or national security issue. Maybe that can be spun out where you go from the lab bench out into the private marketplace and create a business. It's happening now. I'm trying to push that so that it happens more often. And so we're working hard. This is one of my top priorities on economic development and making sure that New Mexicans have some real opportunity in New Mexico to go to work on good-paying jobs.
Sarah, you have been patiently waiting to talk to Senator Udall. Welcome to KRWG, Sarah.
Hi, thank you. And thank you, Senator Udall, for being available to take questions today. Appreciate it. My question is pretty simple. President Trump's executive orders, particularly around immigration, require funding to be able to put them into place, especially the increased enforcement activity. He has requested an extra $3 billion from Congress to begin funding his executive orders. If I want to know, Senator, yes or no, will you vote to fund these executive orders?
You bet. I think that the extra money you're talking about was put in a supplemental appropriation sent to the Congress. Actually, the good thing is the Republicans have just moved that aside and said, we're not going to deal with that right now. And so they feel all of the things that were asked for there should be dealt with later. And so I'm going to give that an awful lot of scrutiny. The other thing I just wanted to add that just popped into my head here on that last question, when I talked about economic activity at the borders, we are trying to really improve those ports of entry down there where there's a lot of economic activity. I'm going to, in the next couple of weeks, do a ribbon cutting for a brand new port of entry at Columbus. We've invested $85 million in this Columbus port of entry. We're trying to improve the port of entry at Santa Teresa. And so we're working very hard there to make sure that that trade that moves back and forth from Mexico into the United States and the United States into Mexico, that that can be done in an efficient way. So I will keep a very specific eye on this border issue here. But as I said, the Republicans, they've taken, there was a big request for $30 billion. They called a supplemental. And the Republicans who are in charge of the Congress, they said, we're not going to deal with that right now. We got to finish the budget this year. We got to deal with the budget next year. And so we will scrutinize specifically those kinds of issues as they come through. But thank you very much for that question. Thank you for the concern.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You can also join us on our social media desk, Facebook and Twitter. Let us go to Mary. Mary, welcome to KRWG. You are on with Senator Udall.
Oh, thank you very, very much. Senator, thanks for all your hard work on the part of New Mexicans and the entire state, and we hope you'll come back to Grant County as soon as you can. My question
is
really simple.
I sure will. I love your county.
I know you do, and we love you. How do you, you know, you're urging us to call and contact our representatives and our and our senators and our federal government. How do you and other people use our calls and our emails and our messages? Are we up against just a lot of lobbyists, or are we really heard as the people?
Well, you're heard with me. I can't speak for everybody else, but I just want to talk to you about how I view my interaction with the public. First of all, I'm here with you on this program right now. As I said, we're going to do a town. I said earlier, you may have not heard, but we're going to do a town hall out in Las Cruces. I'm out in New Mexico an awful lot. I mean, you know, the real job is back here legislating and trying to help New Mexico in terms of the legislating. But it's very important to me to stay in touch with my constituents. So here's how you help me in a couple of ways and how I use what you say. First of all, if there's an area of the law that you really believe ought to be changed, you know, you've run into something in your daily activities where you believe the law needs to be changed, sometimes a very thoughtful letter that details exactly the change that should happen is something that my staff takes seriously. I'll get that to them. I'll say, research this, and it'll end up somebody's given us just very, very good information about how we should change the law. Then the other, so that's is just in general about changing legislation. So I really listen to what you say and listen to your changes. And one of the most helpful things for me is a very detailed, if you're talking about changing a law, a detailed explanation of why the change, how would it make a difference, and the specific reasons for why it should be changed. Then let's get to when we vote. Like somebody called in here earlier talking about the Title X Planned Parenthood dollars that are threatened now with a vote on the floor. Before I vote, almost all of the time, I get in very close touch with my staff as to what's happening in New Mexico on this. So my staff is, the only reason I say it's almost all the time is that sometimes we get these really unpredictable, very quick votes. But my staff is keeping me informed about the email that's coming in, the telephone calls that are coming in, all of the social media contacts, how people are responding to what we're saying. As you know, every day we're putting information out and people get to respond and say, well, you voted this way. We either like this or we don't. And so that helps educate me about how I'm going to vote. And so we're extremely interested in New Mexicans' opinions, and I try to solicit them in any way I can. I mean, if you've seen me in action in New Mexico, I don't mind going into a grocery store or restaurant and stopping by a table or asking a person who's doing their shopping, you know, how do you think we're doing in Washington? And people give me their opinions. And so I feel that I'm here to represent you. I'm also here to give you my best judgment on the issues that the country faces. And so you help me reach that best judgment. Thank you.
Martha?
Thank you.
Let's go to Martha, who is standing by the line. Martha, welcome to KRWG. You're on with Senator Udall.
Oh, thank you very much for doing this show. And thank you, Senator.
You bet, Martha.
Senator Udall, thank you for everything you've done. I'm an avid listener of public radio and TV. I listen to it all over the world, wherever I am, especially our radio station. What are you going to do to prevent the defunding of public radio and TV?
I'm going to fight it tooth and nail. I think that would be a bad idea. I think the federal dollars are leveraged there in a significant way. When you hear all these appeal hours where the local stations ask citizens to give, I mean, every federal dollar is matched by citizens out there. And I think this is a great service to have public radio, public TV, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting does a good job. And so we're in the minority here. So we need everybody to speak up. And when I talk about speaking up, I mean, one of the ways to contact representatives from all around the country. If you see somebody on C-SPAN or on the news that you think they're wrong, you can call them at the Capitol switchboard, the Capitol switchboard number, and they hooked you with an operator, and you say, I want to reach Senator so-and-so, and they'll put you right in touch with their office. The Capitol switchboard telephone number is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Capitol switchboard. You call in there, you say, give me Senator Tom Udall. They'll hook you up to my office, or you name any other senator or member of the House of Representatives, they'll hook you up. Many of you know online you can also get very direct contacts in terms of getting into the websites that members have and expressing your opinion on issues. And we really value that. I mean, I'll never forget when President Obama left office and everybody was wondering, well, what is he going to say about this incoming administration? And I thought it was very educational. He said the biggest check on a presidency is an engaged citizenry. That's what he said in his farewell address. And so what we're seeing now in New Mexico, and I'm very proud of it. I'm proud of all of you that are on this program, is you're being engaged, you're doing everything you can, and the most important thing is make sure that in every single election that comes up, you turn out and have your opinions expressed. There are elections, as you know, occurring all the time at the city, county level, state level, and then we have our big federal elections every 2 years.
Let's go to our social media desk, Fred Martino.
Cassie of Las Cruces has a fun question from Facebook. How is it like working with Senator Elizabeth Warren? Is she as tough in person as she looks on TV?
Elizabeth Warren is great, and she's a lot of fun to work with. She's very knowledgeable on the issues. I actually worked with Elizabeth Warren on the setup of the Consumer Financial Protection Agency that she'd been working for many, many years. And I thought that she should be, after it was created under Dodd-Frank, because she had done so much work on it, I called her and said, would you like to be the first head of that agency? And I said, I don't want to weigh in for you unless you're really interested in it. She said, I'd love to do it. And so I led a letter to try to get her on the Consumer Protection Agency. It ended up the Republicans completely boycotted her. They told her they wouldn't bring it up. They thought President Obama was crazy to even think of the idea. And so she then ran for the Senate. So I think she's the one that came out on top on that one.
All right.
We've got 8 minutes to go. Senator Udall, do you mind sticking around for the last 8 minutes?
How about 6 of them?
All right, let's go for it. All right, let's go to Marcus, who's been standing by very patiently. Marcus, you're on with Senator Udall.
Hi, Senator Udall. I have a question. So I'm, of course, you can't make any votes on state issues in Santa Fe, but I'm sure you're aware of the budget crisis. And there's a lot of questions looming over cuts to things such as the lottery scholarship. And so I'm a student at New Mexico State. And the tuition is going to be going up. And if the lottery scholarship gets cut and I don't have it, I'll probably have to drop out of school. Is there anything you can do at the federal level, though, or anything you could work on with Republicans or anything you're fighting for to lower the cost of higher education or help students pay for it?
You bet there is. And we're always looking at student aid, student loans. During the time I've been here, we've had some significant reforms to student loans to try to make sure that the actual student receiving the loan gets more money. And I'm very proud of some of the work we've done there. I would urge you on the lottery scholarship, get in touch with those legislators. This is the crucial time because the legislature has just produced a budget. The governor's about ready to make key decisions on the budget, and they're probably going to have a special session. So when they have a special session, once more the citizens can have tremendous input into that special session, and all of you should be speaking out for the lottery scholarship because it makes a big difference to people who get that. They can continue their education and get a better job after they finish their education.
Arturo, you are on with Senator Udall. Welcome.
Arturo.
Hello.
Welcome, Arturo. You're on with Senator Udall.
Okay. have a question regarding Dreamers with DACA. I don't, I'm not sure if you are familiar with it, with the program.
This is the program on the Dreamers you're talking about, right?
The deferred action for
Yes, okay, please, go ahead. Yeah.
So around the country, a lot of people have undergone a background check to be granted deferred action, and now they are being detained by ICE. You know, and that deferred action specifically granted that individual to not be deported for an amount of a period of time. You know, so I just want to know, what are you planning to do at the federal level, since it is, since ICE is at the federal government, to protect Dreamers? Because a lot of people, a lot of Dreamers who have DACA are in school, and they can't just be picked up and detained and miss class or miss their job. They have kids to maintain. You know, it's just a really tough issue, because especially in Las Cruces, we have a lot of people who are with DACA. So that, you just want to know, what are you going to do to protect Dreamers?
Yeah, well, this is for me such a sad issue, because I think that President Obama really did the right thing to try to protect Dreamers with DACA. And, you know, there are so hundreds of thousands of people registered for this. It should not be used in any way to their detriment, because they were stepping forward and admitting what their specific circumstances were. Anybody that's having an immigration issue, especially with something like DACA, they should call our Las Cruces office. We're trying to stay on top of specifically what the Immigration Service is doing here, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. But our Las Cruces office number is 575-526-5475. 575-526-5475. Ask for anybody down there that in the office that's working on casework issues, and they'll take that. But let me talk a little bit about these raids and the insecurity this administration has caused as far as the immigrants in the country. You know, very recently, Senator Heinrich and I spoke with the acting director of ICE, a gentleman by the name of Thomas Holman, about the serious concerns of many of my constituents and many New Mexicans. I told Mr. Holman that I've always said law enforcement officials should be targeting violent criminals and felons, not innocent families. And that's what, President Trump said on the campaign. We got to hold him true to his promises. That's what he was saying, targeting violent criminals and felons. We demanded answers about ICE deportation measures under the Trump administration. We secured a commitment from Mr. Holman that ICE will not conduct raids at places where people are getting essential services, like schools, hospitals, and churches. And I will do everything in my power to hold ICE to that pledge. It's just terrible that folks feel like they have to skip the doctor's appointments, miss church, or hold their kids out of school because they're afraid. And I'm asking all of my constituents to contact my office if they have reports of ICE agents conducting raids at sensitive places. I won't stand for that. I've given you the number of my Las Cruces office, 575-526-5475. If we hear of these kinds of incidents that we think are violating this pledge they made to me, we're going to get right in the middle of it and get it resolved. Thank you.
Senator Udall, I'd like to thank you very much for sticking around for the full hour. Apologize for the beginning of the show, but, you know, appreciate the fact that you've made time to talk to Las Cruces and Southern New Mexico listeners and for being part of this radio town hall.
Edmundo, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Sorry for the electrical technological glitches there early on, but we'll stay in touch with you. And as I said, I hope we're out in Southern New Mexico soon and doing a town hall sometime in that April period, middle of April to the end.
Okay, Senator Udall, we'll be in touch. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Take care.
Well, Fred, there you have it. An hour with Senator Udall. What are your thoughts?
Very interesting stuff. And certainly we hope that this conversation will continue with all of the folks who were listening today. We always cannot get to all of the questions, but we encourage you to send your questions to us, to send your topic ideas to us. The address is feedback@nmsu.edu. And Edmundo, a takeaway for sure from Senator Udall is citizens have to vote. Citizens have to vote in every election. He also said speak out and gave the phone number for the switchboard at the U.S. Capitol so that you can let Senator Udall, Senator Heinrich, Representative Pierce, let them know what you think. And that number is 202-224-3121.
Fred Martino is Director of Content at KRWG and was our social media desk host. Jacob Lockwood answered the phones and handled production. Mark Johnson was our technical producer. Anthony Moreno was our studio producer. I'm your host today for Voice of the Public at Mundo Resendez on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org.